I just sort of thought to bring it. This was like a couple of months ago. And that sort of noise, these guys are going to fix that, so I'm confident. Is it disturbing you all? Do you want me to use a different mic? No? Okay, sweet. So it is actually something that I think we all know, but there's just something in it that I really wanted to press, so I'm going ahead with this anyway, so okay. So I looked up the Cambridge Dictionary definition of community. And it means the people living in one particular area, as in like a location, or people who are considered as a unit because of their common interests, social group, or nationality. So in that sense, church is a community because of our common interests, because we're all part of the body of Christ. So yes, no surprises. So there was a study done, a seminal study in 1986, and they actually identified four elements of sense of community. And the first one was membership, a feeling of belonging. Is that really small? Oh, no, it's not too. Feeling of belonging or of sharing a sense of personal relatedness. So it's that feeling that we belong to something, we're part of something. Influence, mattering, making a difference to a group, and of the group, mattering to its members. Reinforcement, which means an integration or fulfillment of needs and a shared emotional connection. I actually want to just go back to number two, influence. Because I actually feel that somewhere where in a church that can be an issue. So it's feeling like you matter to the community that you're in. And I sometimes feel that people can be part of churches and feel like they don't matter very much, yes? And sometimes, you know, I mean, that can be not because the church itself has done anything in particular to make that person feel that way or necessarily excluded them. Sometimes it's what's going on in your life, your own personal life. Maybe you have a history of feeling like you don't matter wherever you are, and so you're carrying that with you. Okay, but I'm going to say just at the outset that every single one of you sitting in this room, you matter. You matter. You matter so much, because we wouldn't be who we are without you. So don't ever feel like you have no value. And making a difference. And the group then mattering to its members. So that's in that our community matters as well. Does that make sense? So it goes, it's a two-way street. For those of you who are visiting, we've had over the last 6 months probably people deciding to move on for various reasons. It happens in a small community. I'm not going to go into that. But at the same time, we all felt it. And to be perfectly honest with you, Gary and I struggled a little bit because very dear friends of ours left. And that hurt. Not that we're not still dear friends, we are. But they at that then we started to think, oh, you know, should we still be here? What are we going to do? I mean, maybe we've all thought that at one time or other. And then I just thought, you know what? No. No, we're not going anywhere because you all matter to me. You matter to me. Anyway, I'll go on. I'll get teary. So we all have a built-in desire for relationships and to be part of a community. We all agree with that. Now, it's because it's how we were created. Man was not created to be a solitary being. We were created to be in community because God himself is a small community. So if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All present there in the beginning. before anything was there. So that was a community. And in John 1:1, I just absolutely love this verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the word with God, I did a little bit of research. In the Greek, it's the word pros, P-R-O-S. I'm not sure if that's pronounced correctly. But that literally means toward. So that gives us the sense in that translation that it's towards God, like a face-to-face. It implies that closeness of sort of face-to-face, being with in that sense. So creation was a community event. So when we live in community, we're then reflecting our Creator. So we're made in His image. So originally, it was all good. Made in His image, there you have Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God. How awesome would that be? Hallelujah. But then along came sin. Along came deception in the form of the serpent, and both Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and then sin entered the world. Sin broke community. After that, we suddenly have a broken community because unbelief came in, and people started to view things from self-interest. So whereas originally, we were made in His image. We were selfless. When sin entered, we became self-conscious. The first thing that it records that Adam and Eve did was they became aware that they were naked. Before that, they were happily walking around and without a second thought that they had no clothes on. As soon as they both disobeyed God and sin entered, they were both suddenly self-conscious. They were suddenly aware that they were naked and they wanted to cover up. Isn't that interesting? So with sin, we became self-interest. We start putting our needs before others' needs. We started to look for things other than God to give us identity and significance. And here's the thing, though. This is God. God had this set up from the beginning. He was going to send the Word to us in the form of His Son. But apart from Christ, we cannot believe. Isn't that interesting? We'll come back to that. So Jesus came to the earth, and He has restored community to us. So in Christ, we now can look at ourselves honestly and with humility, and we can now begin to put others before ourselves. But it's still a battle, isn't it? We still have this tension between what we want to do and what, you know, our intrinsic nature, our sinful nature wants to do. And there's this battle. So 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 10. Now, Sandra, this is the Passion Translation. I decided I had NKJV first of all. For those who don't know, Sandra really loves New King James. So do I, actually. But this in the Passion, because it just says it so beautifully. Chapter 1, verse 10. I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another and put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as one united body, living in perfect harmony. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves. Oh, I just love that imagery, that having a common perspective with shared values. So I'm just going to read that last line. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective with shared values. Nowhere in that passage does it say we all have to be the same, that we all have to be little clones of each other. you know, thinking the same, feeling the same, you know, doing the same thing. No. No, we are an eclectic group of people, all ages, put together because of this common perspective and our shared values. Do we all agree? But we do have two enemies that is going to try to tear us apart. One enemy we're well aware of, that's the devil, you know, the fallen angels, the one who deceived Eve in the first place, in the Garden of Eden. He's been there from the beginning of that. So that's the enemy that we know, don't we, and we recognise, and we just, you know, we stand against. The other enemy is ourselves. And that one, I suppose, from an individual perspective, is probably the hardest one to come to grips with. Because nobody wants to think that they're in any way responsible for any of the stuff that's happening in their lives. But the truth is that most often we are. We choose, we have free will. Those of you who are parents, and you see that so beautifully demonstrated in your gorgeous children, that right from the day they are born, they have free will. Try as you might to get that child sometimes to sleep. That child is going to do exactly what that child wants to do, and you really have absolutely no control whatsoever. So do we all agree with that? Yeah. So it's not hard to understand then that we could also struggle with self-control, with what we do, with what we think. And the reason I'm sort of going here just a little bit is that we need to make a conscious decision to be part of a community and to bring to that community what only you individually can bring. Okay, so you know, we are absolutely not the same. So Jesus has restored this capacity. We have in him the means to be fully united. So we're united to a common cause, even though we're all different, and we need to learn to love each other as ourselves. So let's just go to Romans chapter 12. There's a little bit of reading here, sorry. It's chapter 12, and I'm going to begin at verse 4, and again, the Passion Translation. In the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function, and so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the others. God's marvelous grace imparts to each one of us varying gifts. So if God has given you the grace gift of prophecy, activate your gift by using the proportion of faith you have to prophesy. If your grace gift is serving, then thrive in serving others well. If you have the grace gift of teaching, then be actively teaching and training others. If you have the grace gift of encouragement, then use it often to encourage others. If you have the grace gift of giving to meet the needs of others, then may you prosper in your generosity without any fanfare. If you have the gift of leadership, be passionate about your leadership. And if you have the gift of showing compassion, then flourish in your cheerful display of compassion. We're all different. And I'm sure that different one of you can identify with any one of those in particular and say, yeah, that's me. I have a gift of serving, or that's me, I have a gift of encouragement, and so on. So part of community and the value of being part of a community such as ours in a body of Christ is that we can become transformed in that community. Now, last year was probably a difficult time for the church and for the world with COVID, and how quickly were our churches shut down. Just like that, overnight, that's it, you can't gather anymore. Done. Who liked it? Anyone? Was anyone actually happy that I got to stay home and do nothing on a Sunday? I must confess, I actually liked the little sleep in, but that's apart from that. No, we weren't happy, were we? And we did different things. We had online, you know, we did Zoom calls. People started to gather online in virtual communities. But a virtual community is not the same thing as a real flesh and blood community. So although it can make you feel like you're part of a community, when trouble comes, you quickly realize that you're alone. In a virtual community, no one knows the real you, your struggles and pain. So I'm really sad when I know of Christians, genuine believers who absolutely love God, who are reaching out to others in the community. They're doing all of that. Yet for one reason or another, they're choosing not to go to any church. And they're in isolation. And, you know, it's really just not the same thing. And they'll just say, oh, yeah, but, you know, we catch up with other Christians and we do that and we jump online and we do this and we watch this and watch that. And it isn't the same thing. Because not only part of community where you can share gifts with one another, part of community is that you can challenge each other. You can grow, because we all have blind spots, don't we? So what we really need is a real life, flesh and blood community created for us by our Saviour. So the strengths of a community, we're all different and we have different strengths and weaknesses. You get the opportunity to try and to operate in your gifts, to fail and then to grow in the safety of community. So Romans, in that same chapter of Romans, chapter 12 from verse 9, actually tells us how to live in community. Verse 9, let the inner movement of your heart always be to love one another and never play the role of an actor wearing a mask. Despise evil and embrace everything that is good and virtuous. So let's just be real, you know. You come in and someone says, oh, and how are you? How's your week been? And you automatically go, oh, good, great, had a great week. But the truth is maybe something entirely different. You don't have to pretend here. No one's going to judge you. And if they do judge you, they shouldn't be judging you. So let's try and just have a place where we know each other so well that there's safety, that we know that if we do share something, no one's going to gossip, that if we do share something, no one's going to use it against us down the track, you know, that if we share something, we're not going to get demoted, we're not going to suddenly not be allowed to work in our ministry because we've been honest. Because let's face it, life is hard, things come against us, we all struggle at some time or another. So, verse 10, be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family. I like this. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honour of one another. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. Let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. Don't give up in a time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. Take a constant interest in the needs of God's beloved people and respond by helping them. And eagerly welcome people as guests into your home. Speak blessing, not cursing, over those who reject and persecute you. Celebrate with those who celebrate, weep with those who grieve. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset, thinking you are too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Don't be smug or even think for a moment that you know it all. I'm reminded of the passage in James where James says that, you know, if someone comes into your church and they're dressed in, you know, fine clothes and wealthy, and you give them the best seat, and then someone else comes in and they're dressed shabbily, they're poor, you know, perhaps they're homeless, and you say, oh, you know, you sit down the back there. You know, and James is saying, you don't do that. We don't show any partiality. And the reason is God doesn't show any with us. He treats us all the same. God loves everyone. And in fact, Jesus said that it's harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven if they're trusting in their riches more than they are in Christ. So, being in community encourages unity. And where there is unity, God commands the blessing from Psalm 133. So, bringing this around to a conclusion, let's just make sure of a few things. Make sure that everybody who comes to our church, who's part of our church, no matter who they are, feels like they matter to us. Let's also make sure that that we all check ourselves and make sure our church matters to ourselves. Let's make sure that when a new person joins our church, that there's people who extend that arm of friendship and hospitality. I mean, I love that we have our coffee breaks and we do all that thing. And I love what started to happen recently. The music team, I know it seems like it's quite small at the moment, but it's surprising that when you count those that are serving on the computer or on the sound desk, and you add all the spouses, we actually had quite a crowd, all came round to Gary, our place, potluck dinner, and didn't we have a great time? It was really lovely. And we got to sit down, enjoy each other's company, share a meal. Still need to get a couple of recipes off of different people, some good food, and got to know each other just a little bit better. You know, we've got things that are happening. What I'm going to say now is I think we can do more. I think we can do more. I think we've had people in our church who have felt like they didn't matter. They weren't embraced. We perhaps weren't inviting them out for lunch or trying to connect with them in some way. You know, you're not always going to get everybody go to something the church is running, like a men's group or a Bible study as such. So, you know, but you can go and meet people where you are, you know. You don't have to expect anything in return. You're saying, oh, you know, we're all going out for lunch today. Would you like to come? And that person might think, I can't afford it. And you say, it's my shout, my treat, you know. Let's just look and think about how we can do that. I just wanted to share a little personal testimony. I'll be finishing very soon, I promise. We mentioned earlier, you know, Gary and I, we celebrated our 39th wedding anniversary. Well, there's quite a few of you now sitting in this church who wouldn't know that that's a miracle. There's some of you who are, yes. it was in 2009. So Gary and I went through the worst period in our married life. It was a deal breaker thing. And it was nearly over. And we were living at the time down in Cobargo, and we used to travel an hour to come to this church because we loved it so much. And then both of us absolutely devastated, absolutely, you know, it really was pretty bad. And we had a choice. We could have said, nup, we're going to try and make a fresh start somewhere else, where nobody knows us, nobody knows what's happened, we can try and forget about it, move on. But we didn't do that. we chose to sell up and move closer so we could be right here. And we came to church every week. And we were just both so devastated. And you guys who were here at the time, you were so beautiful. Because I'd come and I'd be crying in the worship, and someone would just come up and put their arm around me. And you know, we were shown such love, we were allowed to grieve, we were allowed to heal, we were encouraged, different ones gave us prophetic words, and really, really, this church wrapped their arms around us. And you are the reason that we were able to celebrate 39 years of marriage. So I applaud you, really. Just cannot stress how much this church matters to me, that you all matter to me. And so if nothing else, you get nothing else from this, that I just want to encourage you to think about that. You know, we're all ordinary people, and have people upset us in this church? Absolutely. Loads and loads and loads of times. Have I been offended? Yes. Is that my problem? Yes. you know, I'm very sensitive. I get offended when most people wouldn't. But you know, hey, I know that, and most of you who know me know that, right? And I'm given grace to get through that. You get over myself. Yes, let's just get over. And as an encouragement. And Julie, I just want to honour you, because you and Graham were there for us, and you have been there for us the entire time. You're absolutely wonderful, beautiful couple with a very, very strong pastoral gift. And you've found yourself in this position without desiring it, without seeking for it. And God is richly blessing you for this. And Graham up there doing the sound, you know, you too, brother. So, okay, I think we can do more. And why should we do more? I firmly believe that as we really get what community is about, when we really start to grasp the New Testament church in the book of Acts and how they conducted themselves, how they loved each other, they met together, they shared their needs, God was adding to the church daily. I believe that as we really, really become truly a community where, you know, even with the most difficult of us to get along with, we just love everyone equally with the love of Christ, yes? People are going to look at us and think, I want what they've got. I don't have that, and I need that in my life. And I believe that evangelizing will be easier, sharing will be easier, because as we grow together as a community, we are individually all going to grow spiritually and emotionally. So people are going to see the change. I really, really believe this. So here's some examples. Let's get practical. You know, invite someone out to lunch or over for dinner. Meet up for coffee. Lend a helping hand. Be generous when you can. Remember someone's name and how to pronounce it. That makes a difference, right? Join one of the groups that are already meeting. We've got men's group. We've got craft group. We've got Bible study. We have discipleship. We have prayer. You can volunteer at Southern Care with food relief. You can serve on the music team. Please be musical. just saying. Don't have to be perfect. Or if you're technical, if you know your way around a computer, we would really love people to stick their hand up for that particular one. You know, if you're pretty interested in sound, there's training involved. I'm just putting a plug out there. Family picnics, these things are going to happen. I happen to know. Family four-wheel drive trips, love them, Dennis. They're just, the last one we did was so much fun. Church barbecues. You know, this is an exhaustive list. Now, perhaps you're thinking, hang on a second, Michelle didn't mention women's ministry, or Michelle didn't mention youth group. So if God's starting to play, or whatever it is, if God's starting to play something on your heart, you think, oh, well, that's something that we could do, a play group for young families that we can invite the community in. You know, if God starts to put those things into your heart, you think of that, then I also would love it if when we get those ideas, that we're prepared to do it. You know, it's one thing to have a great idea, and it's another thing to actually make it happen, right? So let's roll up our sleeves, let's get involved, let's really be the community that I know God wants us to be. Let's see this place bulging at the seams from people who want to be part of it, because they know that if they're part of this church, that they're going to matter, and that matters. Amen?
Yeah,
amen. Thank you, Father.
Thanks, Michelle. Let's just